Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Here we go. Stand by for Buzz. But first, we've seen the commercials before. Topical serums that claim to improve the appearance of your skin. Dark spot treatments that are supposed to make us look better, but they take 6 months or more to actually see results. And most of the time, we can't see any difference, even after all that sacrifice. Now imagine a topical solution for eliminating fine lines, wrinkles, and large under-eye bags in just a matter of minutes. I'm not talking about some risky, expensive plastic surgery or Botox or fillers or any of that stuff. I'm talking about gone in minutes. It's called Plexiderm, a clinically studied serum that visibly eliminates your wrinkles, crow's feet, and under-eye bags in just a matter of minutes. It's the edge you've been looking for. You know, when Plexiderm asked me to test drive their topical serum, I jumped at the chance to see if it really works, and man, oh man, did it. In just about 10 minutes, the fine lines around my eyes were gone, disappeared, vanished, poof. Plexiderm can give you the confidence you'll need to be yourself at work or out with friends, and the best part is Plexiderm lasts for hours and goes on clear, so nobody is going to know that you're using it. Go to tryplexiderm.com and use my code VOICES for 50% off a full-size bottle of Plexiderm, plus an additional $10 off. That's right, 50% off plus an extra $10 off. This offer is also available by calling 1-800-685-1292 and mentioning the code VOICES. Plexiderm is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit triplexiderm.com today. Use the code VOICES at checkout. That's triplexiderm.com, code VOICES. And now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Do you worry about Donald Trump being alone in the White House?
And I'm in the White House and I was lonely.
I know I do. Hi, I'm Martha Stewart, and there's a free service that you need to know about. It's called A Place for Don.
If you have a windmill anywhere near your house, they say the noise causes cancer.
They're the nation's largest batshit crazy criminal chief executive referral service. And they can help you find the right federal facility fast.
I'm not sure that I've ever even heard of the Category 5.
A Place for Don offers free one-on-one advice for congresspeople who haven't quite made up their minds about a referral.
I hope they now go and take a look at the oranges.
And a personalized list of maximum security homes, one of which will be perfect for an ex-chief executive. Believe me, I know. I've been there.
We told Don, we found this place. It's affordable, it's great. You're gonna love it. Let's go look at it.
Caring for a delusional president with a limited grip on reality can be difficult.
God bless the United States.
But now there's a place for answers. A place for Don.
If you're struggling to get information about where to put your president during this difficult time, then call to get the free help you need. Call now, 1-800-FED-LOCK. That's 1-800-FED-LOCK.
You know I'm totally off script right now.
Bob Seska.
Bob Seska. You really are sick.
The Bob Seska Show.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike, Mary in Ann Arbor, and Richard Hensel in there, too. From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, March 10, 2020, and this is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com, the greatest soap ever. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi. Day 1,146 of the Trump crisis, 238 days until the 2020 presidential election. And oh, look, sitting right over there, it's my good friend Buzz Burbank. Hi, Buzz.
Hey, hi. Hi, Bob. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi. Hi. I love that PSA, by the way.
That's, me too.
That's a great.
It's classic.
He's Bob. I'm Buzz. And we've been self-quarantined since the last election. Crazy, isn't it?
Hey,
did you see this? We've all been washing our hands so much now. The Mississippi River is now mostly just soap suds. I didn't know.
No.
They say that this virus is hitting older people the hardest.
Yeah.
So we've gone from okay boomer to you okay boomer?
And
Mike Pence is so freaked out about the virus, his hair just turned whiter.
How is that even possible?
We didn't think it was, yet there it is.
Right.
Last week, on the show, I mentioned using vodka to fight coronavirus.
Uh-huh.
I may not have been clear about that. Vodka does not contain enough alcohol to kill the virus. What I meant was we should drink some.
I'm way ahead of you.
I got a great deal. I'm really excited because coming into today's show, I got a great deal on a gas mask on eBay. According to the listing, it's only been worn once by Florida's Matt Gaetz.
What a dick that guy is.
I think I'm going to be okay.
Oh, man, let's do this.
Can't touch face. Can't touch face. Can't touch face. Can't touch face.
It's gonna be stuck in your head all day.
My habits do change so hard. Wash my hands, oh my lord. Thank you for blessing me with the face mask time and the Purell B. That's good for what brings me down. A handsome convoy from the hometown. And I know this much, my face, I can't touch.
Can't touch face.
I told you, homeboy.
Can't touch face. Can't touch face. You can't touch face. Can't touch your face. Okay.
Oh man. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Rocky Mountain
Bike
there. Yes.
Yeah. I'll applaud that. You know what? That's actually a very helpful thing, and it's a good thing if that gets stuck in your head because it's proven very hard for all of us to stop doing that.
Yeah. And now every time you go to do it, you're gonna think of Rocky Mountain Mike singing.
You can't touch face.
I promise. I'm not gonna do that the entire show.
Just keep hearing that in your head. Well, maybe a little more.
Yeah.
Just keep hearing it in your head so that you help yourself break that habit.
Yeah, and by the way, it's unavoidable. It is going to be in your head. That's the bottom line. Sorry. Okay, so the Dow collapsed more than 2,000 points after day of collapse, except for that one day where there was the... as they call it, and I didn't make this up, the dead cat bounce. There was one day of that. And then the markets gained 700 points early today, and they've collapsed again. It's not in the red zone at this point, but certainly the gains that happen. Let me just double check and see where we are with the Dow. Yeah, right now we're up 193 points.
If you've ever made a paper airplane that just wouldn't stay in the air,
that's what
we're seeing here with the stock market. It just won't stay in the air.
No. It was the 11th largest percentage loss in the history of... the stock market in the United States. The 11th largest percentage loss. I think it was the largest point loss in history. Buzz, I'm just getting so bored with all of this winning.
Yes. He said we would be tired of the winning. I am, in fact, tired.
Yes. All of the, winning. I mean, it got so bad yesterday, in fact, in all seriousness, the stock market had to suspend trading at the 7% threshold.
Right. Circuit breaker.
But stocks rose early today. Then Trump tweeted about the Fed, and then everything went to hell. It didn't. I mean, again, we're not in the red zone. We were in the red zone briefly with the markets, but now things are hovering around 193 at this point.
Well, if people keep taking Larry Kudlow's advice and they buy on a dip, then that would explain the bounce.
And
what doesn't seem to be stoppable is the overall fall of the market due to the clear economic fears about the effects, the socioeconomic effects of the coronavirus.
Yeah. And, I've been witnessing the fears firsthand. I was looking at my Patreon page today, and oh my God, I'm hemorrhaging subscribers right now. I think that's the best way. Yeah, that's the best way to put
it. See, that, I don't understand that. What do you think is the cause? I have my own theories about why that shouldn't be. Why do you think is the cause of that?
I think people are worried about their 401ks. People are worried about their stocks. People are worried about an impending recession.
The first thing we cut is the podcast.
That's right.
The first thing we cut out of our budget.
Because you just can't afford that $12 a year, the $1 a month.
I would think if you're going to be locked in your house, and you may be locked in your house, I would think if that's going to happen, you want to stock up on podcasts.
Yeah, sure.
That would be my thing.
That's right. But I mean, I'm seeing a lot of, in the exit interviews section of the Patreon page, I'm seeing a lot of...
It's me, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I'm seeing my... no, it's there's a bunch of stock answers that you can choose from. There aren't any negative remarks in this week's batch of cancellations, but lots of my financial situation changed, and
I've been there. And honestly, the first thing I canceled was my satellite radio subscription. I was there myself.
Well, I mean, that I think is a little more significant as far as an expense goes, but you know, $1 a month, $5 a month, I mean, we should all be able to hack that. But I mean, what we need now is we need a bunch of new subscribers to make up for all the ones that we've lost recently.
Yes,
I mean,
please.
Between the
isn't the show good? Don't you just want to tell everybody about it?
That's right. We had to stop and start like 3 or 4 times. You can't tell because I edited it all out. But
it was a little like the stock market. We had some dead cat bounces coming in today.
That's right. And my microphone stopped working too. So I mean, these are all things that can be improved with more people subscribing. But you know,
we circled the airport several times before actually landing.
That's right. Patreon.
We're glad to be here. Be glad we're here.
That's right. Patreon.com/Bob Seska Show, or just very simply BobSeskaShow.com. That's easy to remember because it's you know what you're listening to right now. BobSeskaShow.com. And so I hope in the next 24-48 hours we can build up some more subscribers that will compensate for, I guess, the whatever the hell's going on with the financial markets right now.
Yeah. Or people who can give subscriptions as gifts.
Yeah, how about
there's no reason
that?
You can't hook somebody else up just because you like the show and you know they can't afford it, but you think they ought to hear it. That would be a very nice thing to do.
That's right. And the big concern, I think, coming out of the financial markets, and this is projecting forward, of course, is the concept that this stock market decline is going to be followed by a bagel, as they say on the West Wing. A recession. They're concerned about a recession. Yeah. On the West Wing, they would never say the R word in the White House. They would refer to recessions as bagels.
Bagel.
Yeah.
Bagel.
So maybe...
A bagel with a schmear in this case.
Right.
I think, from a lot of the analysis I've read, that's what investors were saying yesterday.
Yeah.
And there's another reason to think that a recession is pending, and that is not only are stocks dramatically down at 2,000 points yesterday, not only are stocks dramatically down, but the bond market, the bottom's fallen out of that. Bond market interest rates have never been below 1%, and now they're down to like 0.5%. It's been fluctuating, but it's been under 1%. That's never happened before. When the sort of the bottom falls out of both the bond market and the stock market, that, I'm told, is generally the sign of a coming recession.
How much do you know, Buzz, about the bond market? Because I have a very specific question about what happens when the interest rates dip below zero. Like Trump always talks about this. He like, I want people to pay me to borrow money from them. I mean, this is the ultimate Trump thing. He wants to borrow money without any interest. And in fact,
before him, I've never heard of it. Now, I don't pretend to be an expert on this, as I say when I make some of these statements, from what I've heard from analysts. You know, this is not my expertise speaking. This is what I've gathered by looking at a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert in that field. I couldn't tell you. I've not heard of, other than Trump's mention of it, which I did hear, I had not heard of that before.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very strange concept. And
very, very Trumpian.
I guess if you were to borrow money and the interest rate was minus 1%, the bank would pay you 1% or the, I don't know how any of that works.
I don't either. Maybe it comes off what you repay. Again, I don't pretend to know, but I just can't see it happening. It doesn't make any sense. Why would somebody give you money and then, you know, and pay you to give you money? You know, unless they expected to make a huge profit on it. And even then, it's a hinky offer.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, the last especially 24 hours have been kind of triggering for any of us who had a shitty time during the previous recession. In fact, the Great Recession is what we're calling it, because it was no ordinary recession back in 2007 through 2010 or so.
And really, it wasn't that great.
Yeah, no, it wasn't great at all. It kind of sucked. It sucked a lot. It sucked the big one. Let me tell you a few things about how badly it sucked. I'm not going to go into all those things, but, you know, it was one of those days where watching the stock market collapse like that took me right back to October 2008. And already at that point, financially, I was having a hell of a bad time. And then suddenly everything collapses with the economy, Lehman Brothers and all the rest just go down in flames. And then, you know, all of the repercussions of that start building up. And here we are again, yet another situation where we're over leveraged in terms of our ability to produce stimulus, to have government spending, to boost the economy. None of that is possible now because Donald Trump has already racked up a $1 trillion budget deficit. So I whatever they're going to do as far as a stimulus, and I know they're talking about a stimulus here, which, by the way, when Barack Obama tried to pass a stimulus, every Republican crapped their cage. They called it a porculus back in the day.
Which was, and they're reacting in a similar fashion to Trump's plans, to his attempts to stimulate the economy, not being well received by either Republicans or Democrats. Republicans are adamantly against it. Trump meeting with them today, and he I would assume would get a gentle earful about how they're not going to go along with that. And likewise, the Democrats hate it. They have a plan of their own that mostly involves assuring that everyone gets the testing and treatment they need for this. Yeah.
Well, what they were really hoping to do is the continuation of the starve the beast strategy, where they rack up these huge deficits. They make it impossible for the government to be able to do anything to ameliorate a recession. But the problem is that the recession happened a little bit too early. Or the impending recession will happen a little too early, I should say.
And so, almost all of the tools in the box have already been used.
That's right.
Trump, for example, putting pressure on the Fed to lower interest rates. They can't go much lower. And I, like I said, I just don't believe. I refuse to believe in a below zero interest rates. But we've used all the tools. We're out of tools. We're very, very close to being out of tools. Not quite there yet, but frighteningly close to being out of tools.
Well, another thing that took me back to 2008, Buzz, was this phrase. This is one of the things that we heard in 2008 from John McCain in particular, September 2008. The fundamentals of the economy are strong. That's what John McCain said in 2008, and he was destroyed in the press. And of course, the Obama campaign jumped all over that because, of course, the fundamentals of the economy weren't strong. But then we fast forward to yesterday, March 9, and HHS Secretary Azar stepping up to a microphone and saying, "The markets have obviously been very active today." That's one way to put it, I guess. But he says the president has delivered a strong economy, and the fundamentals of the economy are strong. Oh, man. So there it is once again. That phrase reemerges at the wrong time.
Nothing new under the sun. It's more of the same. Yes.
Yeah. Well, meanwhile, it's not surprising that we would see a recession now rather than one when a Democrat was president, because the only time in the last 100 years, 100 plus years, the only time there has been a recession under a Democratic president was 1980. Recessions under Republican presidents occurred in 53, 58, 60, 69, 73, 81, 90, 01, and 07.
We never learn. You know, and the other, I'll take that a little farther, if I may.
Yeah.
The bad news is the coronavirus scare could start a recession. The good news is the recession's hitting just in time for a Democratic president to take the blame.
That's right. Well, see, that was the point I was getting at earlier, which is that the timing worked out terribly for Donald Trump, because I think he was hoping for a recession to occur closer to, you know, like the Democratic convention, for example. So he could say, yes, it's all them. See all that stuff that they're saying in the convention hall.
He's saying that anyway, but he's going to be blamed for this to a certain extent. He'll be held accountable for this, even though coronavirus was something that was beyond his control. And let's pause on that phrase for a moment, because there are a few opponents that Trump faces that are beyond his control or influence.
Yeah.
This is one thing he can't tweet away.
No, no. And the incompetence just continues to stack up with, and by the way, we're going to circle back to the election and all that stuff, but continuing on with the coronavirus here, the incompetence, I feel as if something is shifting out there. I get the sense that people who maybe either undecided, maybe some Trump voters who maybe kind of regret their vote. They're not red hats. They're not never Trumpers either. They're somewhere in that phantom zone between being a red hat and being a never Trumper. And I think they're starting to peel away. And I think part of that is, I think for them, they see the ascendancy of Joe Biden as a positive thing, someone that they could actually vote for. And as I've been saying, they can feel like they're saving face by voting for someone like Joe Biden. But in the meantime, I just get the sense that all of the things that we've been observing going back to 2015, and with some of us who, especially New Yorkers, who have been observing Donald Trump since the 1980s, things that we already know, that Donald Trump is a con man, that Donald Trump is a liar, that Donald Trump is way in over his head. He's way out of his depth as president of the United States. He should have no business being in the White House doing serious things. He's got no qualifications, no experience along those lines.
True. All of that's true.
Yeah. And all of it's, I think, rising to the surface now, isn't it?
The most important aspect of what you said was at the very top when you said con man. That's sadly what this is really about. Trump's focus, obviously, anyone can see this, his focus has been on public image, on the image of his presidency during a re-election campaign. This is all about the election for him. Mm-hmm. He's trying to mitigate the damage, and he's not doing a good job of it because he's never faced a foe like this before.
That's right.
He's fumbling this, but he's doing so with bad intent. He's doing so by trying to suppress the truth. Silly stuff like keeping Americans offshore because he doesn't want them to become part of the country's official count on his watch. You know,
horrible.
In other words, more concerned with optics than with the health of the American people, is his first sworn responsibility as a president.
Make no mistake, he wouldn't be doing a goddamn thing about the coronavirus if the markets weren't collapsing. This is all about, this is less about the
pandemic.
Yeah. Exactly. Those two things go hand in hand, especially in his brain. Right. He sees the stock market collapsing. He sees the talk of an impending recession or bagel, and he freaks out. It doesn't have anything to do with the virus. The only reason he's tackling the virus is because he knows he's being evaluated on this, and things are not going well for him, and he can't give the virus a stupid nickname. He can't tweet this problem away. He is screwed, and I think people are starting to recognize that. There's this mayor, Michael Taylor of Sterling Heights, Michigan, who announced today that he voted for Trump in 2016, but he's had enough now, and he's endorsing Joe Biden. He said,
I heard about this,
He said, I remember thinking this Trump thing is insane, but when it was all down to him and Hillary, I kind of said, well, you're a Republican, and he's nuts, but maybe he'll get better. And you know, he's going to lower taxes. I slowly talked myself into it. He can't seriously be this deranged once he gets in there, and he's even more deranged now than I thought then. So I take the blame. I voted for him. More like this, please. That's what I've been talking about right there. That's the kind of voter who is going to shift from Trump in 2016 to Joe Biden in 2020, provided Joe Biden's the nominee. And this is going to make or break the election. This is going to push Joe Biden
It certainly freaking helps. It absolutely helps. Also this, remember when Trump said and believed repeatedly, and it was reported in the press repeatedly, that Trump believed that his strongest election point, the thing that got him elected in 2016, was the wall and his stand on immigration. And we reached a point halfway through his presidency when he realized the wall wasn't going to be built in time.
Yeah.
For the next election. He was running into a wall trying to build his wall.
Very well said,
And then falling into his lap, launched by Obama, was this great stock market that he could seize upon. And so at that point, since the wall thing didn't work out and the market was going so well, then the market became his anthem.
Yeah.
It became his reason for being reelected. And he did not want or expect the economy to fall apart in the midst of his reelection campaign. And he certainly didn't want to be blamed for an ineffective response to this crisis. But you have to realize he didn't recognize it as a crisis.
That's right.
He refused to accept it. He didn't want to hear the bad news. He didn't want anyone else to hear the bad news. This is all about suppressing. Talking about New York Times reporting about Trump refusing the administration, the White House, refusing to let the CDC tell the public that elderly people should not fly, period.
Unbelievable.
And the Trump administration suppressed that and said, no, that's, you know, the poor airline industry is having a hard enough go as it is.
Yeah.
Let's keep that under wraps. Mm-hmm. The public health be damned.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's evil intent here, and that is to cover up and make himself look good and get himself wrongly reelected.
I mean, this is a guy who has completely unsubstantiated self-confidence. He's got this...
I love that phrase.
I wish I could take credit for it. That is a phrase from Schitt's Creek and written by Daniel Levy, and it is an ingenious way to describe Donald Trump. It was used to describe someone on the show, but I said, oh my God, that's Donald Trump. Unsubstantiated self-confidence.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's his whole thing. He thought that whatever comes down, I've reached this point where I can at least get my 43%, my 44% of the stupid, gullible American voters to come along with me. I think I can tweet my way out of this paper bag, and he can't do it this time. I wrote in Salon today, I said, Trump's total absence of presidential qualifications, like the fuel rods at Chernobyl's number 4 reactor, are becoming rapidly exposed, precipitating a political, economic, and public health meltdown unlike anything we've experienced in the modern age. I said here, Americans at large are waking up to a grotesque, unavoidable reality that this isn't new. Trump has always been this staggeringly out of his depth as president, routinely overwhelmed by the rigors and requirements of the gig, while appearing to act based solely on his own political and financial desperation. And I think what's happening here is we're all being confronted, and by we, I mean particularly Trump voters, are being confronted by a very harsh reality, which is that electing someone because you think they'll own the libs is probably not a good series of qualifications for president of the United States.
And I think that really was the motivation for a lot of people. And honestly, I still worry about, you've probably seen the clip from Fox News, what's her name, Trish Regan?
Yes.
Doing the diatribe about how this is the Democrats trying to use coronavirus to make Trump look bad.
Yeah.
She even conspiracy theorized that he was going to be impeached again because of it. there isn't time for that.
Yeah. If she were capable of human emotion, we might be frightened by her anger. But all I got was Polar Express character from her.
Right. And this is the same
video.
I know. I saw it. And you know, this is the same line that Trump is touting. This is what he's saying, and Fox just amplifies it further. And there are believers out there. There are people who totally 100% believe all of that. And those people you'll never be able to talk to again.
But
we've lost them.
Right.
But you mentioned some in the middle. You also mentioned Chernobyl, and Brian Kloss in the Washington Post this morning had a brilliant article comparing the Soviet, the Russian response to the meltdown at Chernobyl, same thing.
Yeah.
Their response to it compared their response to Chernobyl to the Trump administration's response to coronavirus.
Yep.
Let me just read you a couple of sentences from the first paragraph of his story. Subordinates, he's referring to Chernobyl here, subordinates who feared their superiors kept quiet. Superiors who feared contradicting the prevailing mythology of the state and its leader bent and broke reality. they made a series of smaller lies to protect the big lie that the Soviet Union had everything under control.
Wow. That's very, very well said. And
nice, isn't it?
Of course, partly I'm thinking Chernobyl. Partly I'm also thinking the mayor of Amityville in the movie Jaws. saying, everybody, don't worry about it. No sharks in our water. Please come to the beach. Go swimming. Don't worry about being eaten alive by a gigantic shark.
See, if you go back and you look at Jaws again, if you look at that film again, if you look along the boardwalk, you'll see one of Trump's first hotels.
Yeah. And, you know, let me leave you with this right before we talk about Plexiderm here. You know, and this is a reminder of what the presidency is all about. Feel free to quote this and use this against your red hat cousins and uncles. As voters, we're hiring an employee to do something almost no one can do. We're hiring a national steward to manage the most colossal and powerful government in human history. We're not hiring a bug-eyed TV pundit to loudly regurgitate all our rants, biases, and vendettas. The presidency isn't luggage for stowing our feelings, our grievances, or our social media brands. The presidency isn't about our identity. It's not about owning the other side. And it's not about telling us what we want to hear. It's about rational, steady leadership. And there's none of that in the White House today as the entire world shuts down around us. And I think that's got to be the lesson here, at least on the political side of this crisis. The lesson is too many of us made a colossal error in judgment. We decided that the presidency is nothing more than a show. Well, the presidency isn't a show. Elections aren't a game, and we shouldn't be making a game show host the president. That is the thing that I think we all need to take away from this, especially the people who were misled, who were suckered into electing Donald Trump because they forgot what this is all about. They've handed a guy who has zero capability to know what to do with him. They've handed this guy the nuclear codes and the authority to handle a pandemic, and he doesn't know what to do with either of them. He wants to nuke hurricanes, and he wants to continue to tell senior citizens to get on airplanes during a global pandemic that's going to affect people who are 80 years or older more than anyone else. This is the crisis we're in. We've got three crises happening at the same time. We've got a pandemic, we've got a financial meltdown, and then we've got a White House that doesn't know what the hell to do about any of those things.
The crisis in our government as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I may say one more thing about the coronavirus pandemic, and that is a lesson has already been laid out for us. And I understand from some experts that it's not too late yet. As much delay as there's been, a delay of about a month for the U.S. to respond to this crisis. But even with that delay, I've seen at least one expert who says it's not too late, but it's now or never if we're going to respond to this. And here's the lesson that's already been laid out for us. The countries that have denied coronavirus, China, lost 3,000 people.
Yeah.
Iran lost a couple of its lawmakers, 24 of whom got ill and 7 members of its cabinet, and 300 people died there because they too had downplayed the crisis. We have a government here led by a man who has so far downplayed this crisis. Mm-hmm. Look how it worked out for China and Iran, and then look at the countries that got on this early, and the differences are stark and remarkable. If we act now, we can avoid being another China or Iran.
That's exactly right. And, you know, Trish Regan wants to make her audience believe that Democrats are going around saying that Donald Trump is responsible for creating the coronavirus. And that's not what we're saying. We're saying that in a situation like this, we need real leadership that has experience, that has the sobriety, that has the decency and restraint to be able to handle this sort of thing, the organizational abilities to be able to deal with it in a way that is rational and normal and calming. We don't want someone who is going to make everyone panic and freak out. Likewise, we don't want someone who's going to tell everybody, hey, just go shopping, go just rub your fingers in your eyeballs and go shaking hands with people. Big, long, extended, wet tongue kisses with any random person on the street.
Try on Matt Gaetz's gas mask. Go ahead.
Knock yourself out. All right. You know what? We've all seen the commercials. I've seen the ads. They're frustrating. They're annoying. These topical serums that claim to improve the appearance of your skin, making it more youthful, whatever the claims may be. Dark spot treatments that are supposed to make us look better, but they take all kinds of months, like 6 months or more to see results. And then most of the time, there's no difference. And then we've sacrificed all that time, all that money, all that expense for nothing. But now imagine a topical solution for eliminating all the fine lines and wrinkles and large under eye bags on your face in just a matter of minutes. I'm not talking about some risky, expensive surgery. We're talking about gone in minutes. And obviously, we're talking about Plexiderm. Stephanie Miller calls it Photoshop for your face. It's a clinically studied serum that visibly eliminates your wrinkles, crow's feet, and under eye bags in just a matter of minutes. It's the edge you've been looking for. When Plexiderm asked me to test drive their topical serum, I jumped at the chance to see if it really works. I said, go ahead, prove it to me. And man, oh man, did it. In just about 10 minutes, the fine lines around my 48-year-old eyes were gone. Plexiderm can give you the confidence you'll need to be yourself at work or out with friends. And the best part is Plexiderm lasts for hours and goes on clear, so nobody's going to know that you're using it. Go to tryplexiderm.com today and use my code VOICES for 50% off a full-size bottle of Plexiderm plus an extra $10 off. That's right, 50% off plus an extra $10 off. You can also get this offer by calling 1-800-685-1292 and mentioning the code VOICES. Plexiderm is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit triplexiderm.com today. Use the code VOICES at checkout. That's triplexiderm.com, code VOICES. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show.
How could I know I was headed for such a big fall? There was a warning, and I never saw it at all. It occurs to me now that the train we were on was off track. How do you fix it when you know you're not coming back?
Yeah, this is Lizanne Not Keep Me Alive from her Bones and Gravity EP.
You know, I don't drink whiskey, but if I did, I'd want to listen to this song while I did it.
God, I love it. I love her voice. I love this song. So beautiful and haunting. I really, really enjoy this track. Again, Lizanne Not Keep Me Alive. Link in the description at bobseska.com. Just click the link for today's show, and right there we've got all the links for the music we play on the show. Thank you for
supporting. I can picture just sitting in a bar listening to this.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. BobSeska.com/music. Also, if you want to submit your music, and make sure to submit your music. Don't submit someone else's music, because then I'll get in trouble, you'll get in trouble, we'll all get in trouble. I don't want to get in trouble. Everyone's running away from my Patreon page like it's got the coronavirus or something. So please, please don't get me in trouble. Thank you. Okay, moving along here on the show today. Thank you again for joining us. So Germany, you got to compare the United States and Trump's response to something. Germany already has drive-through coronavirus testing.
I saw that. Brilliant.
Meanwhile, we have the Three Stooges trying to fix the plumbing. That's the comparison. That's Germany versus the United States and our slow descent into idiocracy. Thank you very much, Donald Trump. Speaking of Trump, his former Homeland Security Advisor, Tom Bossert, have you seen this? He said,
no.
Hang on tight. He said, we are 10 days from our hospitals getting creamed.
That's true. Let me jump in here and say that Italy now has, I'm going to make sure I have this information correct. Italy now has 10,000 cases, and they started at 11 days ago, they only had 600.
Oh my God.
So they went in 11 days, they went from 600 to 10,000.
Yeah.
We are at 800, I believe, right now as we record this podcast. So how far away are we from seeing those kinds of numbers here? And that's why I believe what I just heard in that quote.
Yeah. I mean, the good news is, I want to throw in some good news here. Apparently, people who have the coronavirus but who aren't in that risk zone are actually recovering from it rather well. I'm not going to say quickly. I'm not going to say it's 1,000% recovery, but they appear to be recovering well. And I guess that's the silver lining of all of this madness.
As I understand it, if you are 60 or over, you are more at risk to get it.
Yeah.
If you are 80 or over, you are more at risk to die from it.
Jesus.
And these seem to be the real, and those and people who have underlying medical conditions of any age, people with underlying medical conditions are part of that vulnerable group. And so if you are 60 plus or 80 plus and you also have underlying conditions, and my God, who's 80 and doesn't have underlying conditions?
Yeah.
If you find yourself in that situation, you're in an even higher risk category for that. But the rest of the population, 80% of the population, it's going to be just variations on a cold that may include shortness of breath and will require hospital treatment, which is why they're asking people to put off elective surgeries and those sorts of things to make room in the hospitals.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Donald Trump hasn't been tested yet.
Right.
Probably should be. He's out shaking hands, doing the rope line, all that crap. I probably should get tested, especially because of all those deep, long tongue kisses from Matt Gaetz and Mark Meadows.
This is the Iranian government all over again.
Yeah.
This is the same thing where top government officials spread it to other top government officials.
Mm-hmm.
We have six lawmakers, now including a Democrat, who are self-quarantined.
Yeah.
Two of the people closest to the president, Mark Meadows, who's either a representative or the chief of staff. I'm not sure which.
Right.
Maybe both, I guess. And there have been a number of people who had a really close contact. Louis Gohmert had a really close contact with the president while he's been out shaking hands in high-risk areas, including at the CPAC convention, where so many of these people contracted this. And this is the Iranian government all over again.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And Doug Collins apparently is concerned that he might have coronavirus, too. So he's self-quarantining. And it'd be a shame if he got it and his lungs got damaged and he couldn't do his auctioneering. He's a fast talker, that guy.
We actually wish for his health, everyone's health.
Of course.
And, you know, it was interesting. Sometimes I'll post a news update and people will converse about it, especially on Facebook.
Yeah.
I've noticed this to be true. And I enjoy watching their conversations and I occasionally engage with them. You know, if I see somebody that needs correcting, you know, I'll jump in on that. But I just sat back and watched the reactions to the news that Matt Gaetz and others, Louis Gohmert, those types of folk were self-quarantining or not in Louis Gohmert's case, because after being exposed to someone with the coronavirus. And the reactions were, a lot of people mentioned karma, and I think that's fair to mention that. And then there were people who were actually hoping for them to get sick.
And
calling that karma. Let me explain something here. If you're wishing ill on someone, you are conducting bad karma.
Right.
And if you believe in karma, that will come back and bite you in the ass. So don't wish illnesses on people.
Regardless
of who they are.
Yeah, yeah. You couldn't be more correct. I mean,
we get so excited. It's like, oh boy, we got them, you know, and then I think we forget. We forget that this is real life and with real consequences, and maybe we should be more careful about what we wish for.
Yeah. I mean, do you want Donald Trump to be a coronavirus martyr? I don't.
No,
I certainly don't. And I don't think it's a good move. I don't think it's putting positive energy out there to hope that Trump gets this or something like that. It's just, I understand the irony, but beyond that, we shouldn't be wishing for that crap.
Yeah. So most of the comments were okay. References to karma and such. You know, I get that. I see that. But to actually then wish harm on somebody, that's the opposite of good karma.
Well, apparently Trump is melting down. I'm okay with that. I'm okay you know, Trump losing his spadoinkle all over the White House. I mean, this is actually happening. Gabe Sherman reports last week Trump told aides he's afraid journalists will try to purposefully contract coronavirus in order to give it to him.
Yeah, who doesn't want to get ill?
That's right. Just to, I'll prove
he
it.
He stands 10 feet back from all of them. The helicopter noise in the background. I don't know what he's worried about. The chopper's actually blowing the air away from him. Yeah. So he should be fine.
Well, his feet are 10 feet away from the reporters, but the way he leans forward, his face is only about 5.5 feet away from the reporters. Given that 45 degree angle, that slope that
Something you learn in television, yes.
He's got iron hamstrings, that guy, the president. So the White House didn't want to tell seniors not to fly. Another irresponsible move. And, you know, just a last brief warning about what's going on online with all of the random homegrown advice about what to do and what not to do in the event of coronavirus or how to prevent it in the first place. Sorry, cocaine and drinking bleach won't stop the coronavirus. This is a real thing.
I can avoid the bleach.
Yeah, the bleach. The cocaine is really much more difficult. It's just that monkey on your back. Yeah, what can you do?
Yes, that's right.
But a prominent QAnon YouTuber named Jordan Sather, I guess is his name.
Close enough.
Tweeted to his more than 121,000 followers.
Great.
First of all, the first thing I see or think of when I see that number is I go, why? Why on earth does this guy have 121,000 followers? How is that even possible compared to my 50-something, 51? It just doesn't make any sense. But he said that a miracle mineral solution, which effectively involves drinking bleach, can wipe out COVID-19. My microphone is malfunctioning again. Hang on.
We just had to have an edit here because Bob's microphone fell off. Please consider a Patreon subscription. That's all I'm saying.
It's something with the connection between the cable and the mic itself. Okay. So now,
you were saying
drinking chlorine dioxide products can lead to severe vomiting, severe diarrhea, life-threatening low blood pressure caused by dehydration and acute liver failure. So,
yes, but it gets rid of the coronavirus.
That's right. So please keep following the advice of Mr.
QAnon guy. If you don't mind those side effects, go right ahead, thinning of the herd.
Also, someone named Bizzle Osikoya, which was my radio name in 1985. I remember. Aware of that. I was Bizzle Osikoya in the morning up in Rochester, believe it or not. A Nigerian music and entertainment developer. Again, more than 190,000 followers. How is that possible?
Right.
Yeah, they're buying them. This guy tweeted out a doctored image, which purports to be a screenshot of a breaking news segment on TV about using cocaine to stop the virus. It has nearly 6,000 likes and almost 3,000 retweets.
It's worked on Trump so far.
That's right. Oh, man, he loves it so much. So please don't use bleach or cocaine or basically anything you see on the internet. It's the guy on the internet problem that we've been facing for way too long. It's especially prevalent on social media. If it's just a random guy on the internet, don't fucking retweet it. Don't believe it. Don't engage. Block and report. This is hurting people.
Now if it says news update, Buzz Burbank News and Comment, retweet that.
Yes, please.
That you can retweet.
Please do. All right, we're going to talk about Mini Super Tuesday and a whole lot more right after one short break. Back right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place one bathtub at a time. That's bubblegenius.com.
Bob Seska.
This is Jammin' Slates. Another track from Jammin' Slates called Awakening from their Mind Egg EP. BobSeska.com/music if you want to submit. Also, you know what? If you don't want to subscribe to our Patreon page, here's another option for you to support the show. Our Amazon link at BobSeska.com. It's the all caps Amazon link just beneath the logo. And if you click it, it'll take you right to the front page of Amazon.com. But because you went there through our link, we get a teeny tiny commission from some of your purchases. So you can get all your coronavirus supplies using our Amazon link. And that, does that sound a little bit like I'm profiteering off of the pandemic?
I don't know. You're not selling hand sanitizer for $80. No, you're not. Yeah.
Selling cocaine. to QAnon people.
They don't have that at Amazon. I looked.
Oh, damn it. You know what? I thought they had everything. By the way, the president just walked up to a microphone and just said this on television. He said, we're doing a great job with it. It will go away. Just stay calm. Be calm. It's really working out, and a lot of good things are going to happen. We're fucked. We're just completely fucked.
The consoler in chief, isn't he?
Yes.
Really the consoler.
I'm laughing to keep from screaming. That's what I'm doing right
to.
Now.
Yeah. You have to. Yeah,
you kind of have to. So when you feel like screaming, just start laughing. That's what I do.
Because like a week or two from now, we're all going to be locked in our homes, and you'll wish you had a Patreon subscription. That's all I'm saying.
That's right. I'm telling you. BobSeskaShow.com if you want to subscribe to our Patreon page. My God. Okay. So we've got many Super Tuesday today. We got a bunch of different states having primaries today, including
Michigan, Washington. Yeah.
Yeah. Michigan, Washington. Let's see what else. Missouri, Mississippi, Idaho, North Dakota, and then Democrats abroad also voting today. Right now, Nate Silver is favored everywhere today.
he's going to win.
Nate Silver says Biden is.
I
did
see.
I say Nate Silver is favored? Yeah, that would be weird.
It's about time Nate got elected or something after all that hard work.
I think I was drinking bleach and having cocaine during the commercial break. So that's
it will disorient you. You will be disoriented if you do that. It was interesting going into this thing. Biden leading by double digits nationally and in Michigan polls, almost universally every poll. And a lot of people are saying, is this the end for Bernie? Is this bye-bye Bernie?
Oh, yeah. Certainly there was a surprise in 2016 with the Michigan primary that everyone's talking about, where Hillary Clinton was favored. I think she was coming in at 56% or something over Bernie Sanders in Michigan. And then Bernie Sanders ended up squeaking out a victory there, which is a pretty big deal. But as I was trying to say earlier, if it weren't for, you know, taking all that horrible QAnon advice about stopping the coronavirus, Biden is favored to win Michigan, according to Nate Silver. The odds of winning 99% to Sanders 1%, Washington 60% chance for Biden, 40% chance for Sanders, 99% chance for Biden in Missouri. Same with Mississippi, Idaho. He's got an 81% chance. North Dakota, 93% chance. Democrats abroad voting for Joe Biden, 65% chance of Biden winning those votes too.
This is devastating then for the Sanders campaign, I would think, from the sound of those numbers. Those are resounding victories if they come to pass that way.
Yeah, and in fact, I anticipate that Bernie Sanders will stay in this race probably up until at least the convention, if not a few days, maybe before the convention, dropping out. This is sort of what he does, and we've all expected this, so I'm not shocked.
But he did come out the other day and say that he would support the nominee, and that he would not that it wasn't about plurality anymore for him. He's given up on the plurality thing and says he will step aside for whoever the nominee is. And today could make it very clear to him and everyone else what's going to happen. I wanted to ask you about Kamala Harris. Could she be Biden's running mate and then, because for the campaign, I think it would be ideal to have her as a vice presidential candidate or Elizabeth Warren. But the way they're playing footsie, I got to think that Kamala Harris has an inside track to the vice presidency there.
Mm-hmm.
But people online that I see and talk to and respect are saying she'd really be even better as an attorney general. And I have to agree with that. That's true. So on one hand, she seems extremely valuable as a running mate. And then on the other hand, she seems extremely valuable as attorney general.
Yeah.
If only there were some way for her to request a transfer once she got it, once they got into
that's
the
right.
White House.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a really good question. I think it's an important question, too. I want to say before I answer the question that stranger things have happened. There's still an opportunity, I think, for Bernie Sanders to become the nominee. I don't want to necessarily close that door prematurely. But at the same time, if we're looking toward a Joe Biden nomination in all of this and he's got to pick a running mate, yeah, I think he's going to choose from the field of other presidential candidates. I think that's the first indication we got, mm-hmm. especially during his interview last night with mm-hmm. Lawrence O'Donnell. He seemed right. to have a bit of a grinchy smile on his face when he was asked whether or not his vice presidential nominee, should he become the nominee, the presumptive nominee, is it going to come from the field of other candidates because they have been tested on the presidential stage.
Right.
And Joe Biden kind of said, well, I haven't made up my mind yet, but he gave a big kind of Joe Biden smile at the end there, yeah. indicating that maybe that's going to be the case. And honestly, I could see Kamala Harris being his vice presidential nominee. I could see Amy Klobuchar. I could see Elizabeth Warren. I think it's going to be mm-hmm. a woman. I think he has to nominate a woman.
I think it has to be.
There's no doubt about that. I also think he has to nominate someone who can either become president on the spur of the moment, if you know what I'm talking mm-hmm. about. Mm-hmm. Also, someone who can possibly win the presidency 4 years from now. And I this is not necessarily an age thing, but I get the sense that whether it's Joe Biden or whether it's Bernie Sanders, the next president is going to be only president for 4 years and they're going to hand off to someone else.
Yes.
And there's going to be, and that person has got to be someone who is existing inside the administration in the first place. I don't think they want a big giant open field of 30 Democrats running again in 2024. Should that come to pass? I mean, obviously there's always a chance that Biden or Bernie could serve two terms potentially. That puts them deep into their 80s, which might get a little dicey, but again, stranger things have happened. But a lot of the stuff that has happened on the political stage over the past, especially the past 3 years, no one could have ever predicted. So, I mean, there's all right. kinds of opportunity for whatever to occur at the same time. One thing that we can all count on is that white male voters kind of suck. At least 58% of them.
Yeah.
Here's the new Quinnipiac poll on prospective Trump versus Biden matchups here. Among everyone else, Biden wins 60% to Trump's 32%, but among mm-hmm. white men, Trump wins 58% to Joe Biden's 34%. So the Donald Trump base, his constituency
is testosterone.
White guys. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Moving along to just one bit about Afghanistan while we're here. The Taliban reportedly has no intention of honoring the U.S. Taliban peace agreement, according to persuasive intelligence. Yeah, this is obvious from within 24 hours of announcing that stupid peace agreement. See, the repercussions, the unanticipated consequences of Donald mm-hmm. Trump and Mike Pompeo announcing this ridiculous attempt at a peace deal was that all it's ended up doing is showing American weakness and vulnerability. Like, we're willing now.
We give up. We're out of here.
As a matter of American foreign policy, we're willing to just give away the store for almost nothing as long as the president can say, hey, look what I did. That's what this is all about. This is Donald Trump being able to say, look what I did.
Yeah, news this morning, the World News Roundup on CBS Radio. The story was thousands of troops coming home from Afghanistan.
Yeah.
I just checked my watch. It's an election year.
That's right. Shit. Everything is about the election. Everything that you see it Donald is. Trump doing now.
That's right.
He is so desperate.
Keep that in mind constantly. Know that every move he makes is about getting reelected, whether it's an attempt to prop up the stock market or to, fool the American people into believing everything's going to be okay. This is all about the election.
Part of it's got to be the fact that Donald Trump sees an orange jumpsuit in his future. And that's, there are so many things that I'm looking forward to if Donald Trump wins. And don't get happy. I'm still the don't get happy guy with all of this crap.
He's got the complexion for an orange jumpsuit.
That's right. He'll at least match. He'll be at least one uniform color all the way through. But the fact is that I'm looking forward to so many things if Donald Trump does end up losing. And one of the things that I cannot wait for. And again, I'm not putting the cart ahead of the horse. I still believe
the part where they drag him kicking and screaming out of the White House. Is that the part?
That's definitely on the list. The other thing on the list is being able to relentlessly troll him with this phrase, one term loser. And I get the sense that a phrase, a pejorative thing like one-term loser is going to eat him alive.
Have I taught you nothing about karma, Grasshopper?
I'm trying to. If I see one damn balloon, I'm not. Again, I'm not saying he's going to lose. I'm saying that if he loses, wouldn't it be nice? say that?
We're fantasizing here. It's fine.
Yeah, I got to go outside, turn around three times, and cuss. That's the way to eliminate the bad juju on that one. All right. Here's something for you to look forward to on the Postmortem Show. I'm going to talk about how I briefly agreed with both Marco Rubio and Patrick Bateman himself, Donald Trump Jr. I briefly agreed with those guys, and it's making me sick.
It should.
I am so sick about it.
We'll try to talk you down.
Yeah, that's coming up on the Postmortem Show. When this music gets done playing, Buzz and I just keep on talking. That is what's called the Postmortem Show. It's available on our Patreon page. Have you heard of it? Have I talked about it this show yet?
The Postmortem Show is so much better than what you just heard.
No doubt about that. This last hour or so, crap compared
to... We're just warming up here.
BobSeskaShow.com. Sign up for at least $5 a month and you get two Postmortem Shows a week. It's kind of like Overtime with Bill Maher, except much, much better. That's coming up here on our Patreon page. Thank you. Also, Buzz Burbank News and Comment every Thursday. The best hour of news you're going to get all week. BuzzBurbank.com, RealmNetwork.com, everywhere you get your podcasts. Plus, I got a teeny tiny commentary in there, too. Thank you, Buzz, for that.
Great. It's great.
That's it. We'll see you on the Postmortem Show. Furniture Guys tomorrow on the interview show. Take care.
Yay.
Bye-bye.